Good morning, Fountain of Life. Good morning. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray before we get started here. Father, I just ask, Lord, we come. We're praying in the prayer room, Lord. We're jars of clay. We have a treasure from you. And I just pray that as we gather, as we speak, that, Father, I have your heart, your mind, not my own mind or heart, but your heart, your words. And, Father, this was of our heart to pray. And I pray, Father, that as I speak, at the liberty that you brought to us, to me, we just declare that for all the body, to those who aren't here, Lord, beyond these walls. We thank you for what you're doing in these walls, but we would declare it for all your body, for all that you're calling to yourself in this day, Lord. Lord, that as we speak these words of freedom and these words of liberty, that it would resound as you would want, and people would know the freedom of our Lord in their lives, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so we're family. I don't have a good feel for how long or short this is going to be, so we're both in for a surprise, maybe. The background of this is the Lord did something amazing for me back in April. It was just, talk about, there's a psalm that says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed, and it was like that for me. And I've shared bits and pieces of it with different ones of you. So some of this, some of you have heard before. Don't mean to be repetitive, but it was really on my heart very strongly to put it together as one coherent story, and with some other context with it. So I brought that forward to the elders, to Paul in particular, and I said, I think I got something in my heart that I would like to share, if it's all right. Yeah, I'm not insisting. He said, okay, let me know when you get your notes finished, you got your thing done, and then we'll talk. And I said, okay. And it was like the Lord didn't allow me to finish my notes. I mean, I had a sense of what I wanted to say, but yet as I was considering, Lord, I need to get this done, it was like, nope, not yet. Red light. Nope, not yet. And I think it was either Saturday of last week or Friday, I don't remember which. I was looking at something on YouTube in the evening, and I came across these videos from some friends of mine that I have on Facebook. They live in Tennessee. That's neither here nor there. But the video was of a young man, and I actually had shared this, I forget which service here, that the young man, he put very, very boldly, with smiles and rejoicing in the video, he says, you know, this one wasn't a video, but he said, he came out and he said, I want to come out and say I am not gay, that the Lord has set me free. The Lord has delivered me. And his testimony, as I read through it, was awesome how the Lord just mercifully and gently led him and has been setting him free from things that he got entangled with. And as I scrolled, on his page, there was a video from a young lady. And she was saying the same thing. The Lord has set me free from being a lesbian. But she was all smiles. It wasn't fake. You could tell. It wasn't like I went to a deprogramming camp and they, changed my brain. I mean, this wasn't forced. This was, the Lord did this. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. And as I was watching this, the Lord quickened to my heart the following. I believe what he was telling me was that, like on Friday nights, and I don't see her here, so I'm not trying to puff her up, but on Friday nights, our dear sister Pat, she prays a lot for the gay community. It's like the Lord is giving her a special burden. And we all come alongside and we agree with her and we pray. And what the Lord is like, what you're doing Friday nights and what you're doing in the fellowship, there's different people I've given anointings and I've given the burden for different things, have different emphasis. And you know the scripture about watchmen in the wall, and we talk about that concept of watchmen on the wall. And what he put in my heart's going on is that, you remember Nehemiah when they rebuilt the wall, different families had different sections of the wall. Do you remember that? Right? And so it's almost like different parts of the body have responsibilities for different sections of the wall. And yet even in Nehemiah, they were like, they were spread really thin. And the idea was when one blew the trumpet, the rest were going to come running and help him out. And the Lord put in my heart, that's exactly what's going on in the fellowship. That there's people in the fellowship that I put different things on their heart. And when you come together, one of you blows the trumpet and you all come collectively together and you lift up and pray and hold that thing up. And I just felt to encourage not only Pat, but all of us, that the Lord's hearing these things and that it's moving heaven. And you know, the different things, like, okay, for me particularly, and this is what a lot of my talk's going to be about, is freedom for the body of Christ. It just has, some things I've gone through and been and seen, I just have this burden, you know, not a horrible thing, but just laboring. Lord, let your liberty come to the body of Christ. Let your freedom come to the body of Christ. And others agree with me. And I know, you know, and again, please, we're family. If I say anything out of order, you're welcome to come up to me and smack me nicely after the service. But, you know, I love you guys. And I trust, I think you love me. I hope you love me. Anyway, Brother Paul, he's got this, the Lord has just given him such a heart for Israel. I mean, he's like the watchman in this assembly, and there's others too. I'm not saying it's just him, but he watches for Israel, and he prays for them, and it's good. And we all come alongside and agree. You know, and there's others who have a burden for the unborn, and when you pray for them, we come alongside. And I thought it was just so cool. But, and anyway, after that, the Lord was like, okay, now you can put your sermon together. Now you can put your sharing together. I gave you the green light. He was letting me know, what I'm doing for you in your life is a small part of a whole, right? It's a chapter you're seeing in front of your face, but it's not the totality of what I'm doing. And so be encouraged. Whatever section of the wall the Lord's given you, be encouraged. Be encouraged in that. Thank you, Lord. So when I was back in March, Brother Don was here sharing, and he was talking, I think, from Ephesians, and he was talking about the body and bodiness and restoration of the body. And that's a not uncommon theme with him, but, you know, it was really good. And I came up to him afterward, and I was telling him, I said, you know, Brother Don, I agree with you so much. And let me back up a little bit. And in recent years, I read a book called The Heavenly Man. Has anybody read that book, The Heavenly Man, by Brother Yoon? You know, if you've, he's a really, I'm not necessarily telling you to go do it. If the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you to read the book, don't. But if he lets you, it's a good read. It's an encouraging thing. And, you know, he has amazing stories of being tortured for the Lord in China, you know, in the underground church. And but one of the things that stuck with me from that book was he said when he was in prison, it did not matter what kind of Christian you were. It didn't matter what denomination you were from. They were in prison together. And they ministered to each other's needs. When one got beaten, the other ones came and put oil on their wounds and helped them and healed them and touched them. And it just didn't matter. And I really felt like the Lord stirred in my heart that he's going to do that again. He's going to do that in the body. And, you know, we look at the body and say, you know, is that possible? And my answer to you is, with us, no. It's not. But with God, it is. And he's going to do this thing. I don't know how. It may look different than we would like to see or expecting, but he's going to do this thing, and this body is going to work right. And so that's what that's just part of my intro. I'm scared of the Lord. Sorry. So I'd like to give you some background for the story that I'm about to tell, and I'm going to go off on some tangents as I talk to you today. They won't be too long, but I think they'll be edifying, and there's reasons for it. So some background, and I've talked a little bit about this. In the early 90s, I was a very backslidden Christian, and the Lord did for me a Christmas miracle in 1992, and he just turned on the lights when there was no light on, and I was able to believe him and hear him once again after years of not being able to hear anything. And you know, the Methodist church in Fishkill, that pastor had married Lupe and I, in 1988, but at the time, I was like, yeah, let's just find a liberal Protestant minister who will marry us and not give us a hard time. Well, after the Lord woke me up, totally different attitude. She wasn't open to going somewhere else, but she was open to go there. And so we went to a Methodist church in Fishkill, but it wasn't just to be going. I mean, we were there with sincerity. And we watched the Lord do great things. And I'm not talking about that today. That's not today's sharing. But we were there in sincerity, and we were there for several years. And we got our kids into a Christian school. You know, the Lord began to move in our lives. And we put our kids in a Christian school at a church in Beacon. And we talked to the pastor at the Methodist Church in Fishkill. He knew it. He was okay with it. And as the years progressed, we just felt, right or wrong, won't try to defend it necessarily, but we felt to move on. And we moved on And we started going to the Pentecostal church there in Beacon, New York. It's I'm not going to name names, but it wouldn't be too hard to figure out. And in a way, I didn't want to go. And so some of the background to that is in this was 1998, I remember. I had a conference out in California for IBM. And when the family went out with me to the conference, and we all stayed in the hotel. And we went and visited at a Foursquare church. And it was beautiful. I was amazed at it. It was the love of God just so permeated. The kids were little at the time, you know, see, 98, 6 and 8. And they just sat with us. And Rebecca's words to me afterward, I never knew church could be so good. And it wasn't because there was a party and they had fun and games. It was just beautiful. And the presence of the Lord filled the place. Now, I'm not suggesting this for us. It was just where they were. But there was a liberty there. They had, they had coffee and donuts or bagels in the sanctuary during the service. And people were helping themselves. But it didn't distract. It didn't detract from it. And I remember them singing. And just the love of God permeated that place. And it was beautiful. Well, we came back to Beacon after that. And the Pentecostal church there, they were still kind of rigid. They wore suits and ties. And to be a member, you had to sign like this member covenant that you wouldn't drink, smoke, go to movies, play cards, dance, things like that. And I'm like, Lord, you know, I really like that church in California. I don't really want to come here. But if you want us to come here, I'll come. And I really felt he wanted us to go, that he had a plan and purpose for it. And so we went. And I remember praying very specifically. I asked him, I said, Lord, let some of the seeds from what we felt in California, what we experienced there, come here. Let it come here, Father God. And I didn't think much about my prayer. But over the next couple years there at the church in there in Beacon, things began to happen. And, you know, and it was had nothing to do with me. I wasn't preaching to anybody. I wasn't sharing scriptures or doing anything. It just they said, you know, it was input coming into the leadership about, we don't need all these suits and ties, do we? People can wear what they want to wear, they normally wear, and we really don't want people loving the Lord because they got a bunch of rules, right? And so a lot of that stuff fell off. Not completely, but a lot of it did. So it went, within a couple years, it went from something fairly rigid, fairly tight, to way better. You know, there was just way more freedom that the Lord had brought, and there was no more suits and ties and stuff. Now, they still were operating with a senior pastor structure and things like that. You know, it wasn't the fountain of life. But, you know, it was good. And we were there, and we were very involved. I mean, we started out, I was helping with ushering, and, you know, they had enough people where they needed ushers to help seat people. And, you know, it was a blessing. It wasn't, I remember some of the other ushers used to complain and say, I'd rather be sitting with my family. I'm stuck ushering. And I would encourage him. It's like, you know, the pastor said this, but I'm not repeating it just because he did. I really believe this, that if you're doing this as unto the Lord, he'll make it up to you. You'll never be lacking. I felt to encourage the people here, you know, the guys who do the Dan and Brother Hank, you know, when they do the words up there, they can't jump up and dance around like some of us every service because they're serving the Lord. You know what? You guys, I just want to encourage you. The Lord will, I know you guys know this, but just for public record, the Lord will give you great joy. The Lord bless you with great joy. And Brother Brian, who I was telling him, man, you know how important greeting is out there? You think, who sees what I'm doing? No, man, that is so important, how somebody comes into the house of God. And we just really saw that there in Beacon. We were doing things, you know, I was helping out with the young boys ministry. We would go to baseball games and hockey games and stuff like that. And there was a season I felt like the Lord wanted me to do that. And it brought great joy. At some point, they said, hey, the senior pastor came to me and said, you know, the Lord put on my heart, we need a treasurer. You'd be the treasurer. And I said, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I wasn't like being particular. I was like, I guess if you're telling me this must be what the Lord wants me to do, I'll do it. I wasn't being fussy. So I said, sure, I'll do that. And then another part I just want to emphasize. I remember one thing I said when we went to the church there in Beacon. I knew that I was a little bit undisciplined, to put it mildly. I knew I was a little bit of a charismatic flake, if you will. you know, bouncing off walls, this doctrine and that doctrine, you know, this ministry and that ministry. I mean, I've shared these kind of things before, but it was like, you know, I was listening to TBN. There's nothing wrong with listening to TBN. I was listening to a lot of different ministries on Sound of Life. There's nothing wrong with that. But I was giving, like, you know, Derek Prince, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Greg Laurie. I mean, I was all these ministries at the same time. And it was good, but, like, I know I probably needed some discipline. And when we got there, they kind of encouraged, you know, do your giving through the church here. And so I felt that was the Lord. We stopped some of that all over the place. And it was good. It was actually good. And when we went there, knowing I needed discipline, I remember saying in my own heart, and like to myself and to the Lord, I'm going to come here to submit. I need to learn how to submit. I'm going to come submit, you know. I don't know if I actually physically said the words, if it kills me, or not, but that was sort of implied. And I've kind of learned in hindsight that despite your good intentions, you know, even if the Lord shows you have a need, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So even if you see that you're lacking somewhere, you can't fix yourself in the flesh. You know, if you see, for example, you need more discipline, talk to the Lord about it. Don't decide how you're going to get more discipline, because you might get more than you bargained for, or not what you bargained for. But anyway, so I served as a treasurer there from 2005 until 2011. And being a treasurer, they considered me, I mean, it wasn't an elder like here, but they said, oh, you're now one of the elders. So I got to go to the meetings and saw, like, the dealings inside. And as time progressed, I wound up spending a lot of my time on my face before the Lord. You know, and during this time, I always remembered the fountain of life. I mean, I remembered there was just the emphasis. And it was beautiful teachings like Colossians. You know, Christ is the head of all things to his body, the church. And it's all about Jesus. And he's the center. And he's the focus. And I always remembered in my heart, in the back of my mind, with everything else going on over the years, that, yeah, the fountain, that's kind of an example of maybe how church should go, you know. And I know fountain's had its problem over the years. I mean, I know it's the grace of God alone. So I'm not lifting up this place, you know, and I probably will get corrected for that as being perfect. It's not, right? But it's complete. It's perfect in him, because he pours out his grace no matter where you're at. And anyway, he gave this as a good example, you know, of where it's mostly about the Lord and not about things or doctrines. You know, it's falling in love with him first, and the doctrines follow. And this is one of my tangents, but some of you will get where I'm going at. There's a lot of teaching out in the body of Christ about different topics, right? There's teachings about faith. There's teachings about how to walk in love. Teachings about fasting. There's teachings about prayer. There's teachings about spiritual warfare. You know, we got that conference coming up. And the teachings can be good and have a lot of good content. But if there's not a central focus tying them all together, and that central focus being Jesus, it can be really distracting. It actually can be a disservice in some ways, because you know you get people going after this doctrine and people going after that doctrine, and it's, you know, they know something's not quite right, but you know, well, it's we're supposed to be walking in faith, Lord, or we're supposed to be walking in love, and it really is the focus is Jesus is your Lord. You walk with him. And he teaches you about faith. He teaches you about love. He teaches you, you know, this is what I want you to walk in today. This is what I need you need help with from me today. And I just, that's way better than chasing a lot of apparently, you know, correct doctrines. Is be founded in Jesus. Be founded in him. Be founded in him first. So as we were there in Beacon, we got more involved. Lupe was a teacher there at their Christian school. She taught there for 9 years. And as I was treasurer, she came in and started doing the books with me. And so that was like our first time doing ministry together, if you will, in a way. As a treasurer, she was the bookkeeper. But I just felt more and more, I was not at peace. I was just on my face before the Lord, you know, a lot. I mean, not once in a while. Crying out, you know. I'm not saying evil was being done. It just was. It wasn't the way the Lord formed me. You know how in Romans it talks about You know, one brother, you know, he can eat meat. He's got a good conscience about it. Another brother, he can't eat meat. He doesn't have a good conscience about it. And the best analogy, maybe not perfect one I come up with, is I was in a fellowship of meat eaters, and the Lord wasn't letting me eat meat. And, you know, it was causing me problems. It was because I'm not only just being with them, I'm having to serve with them. I'm having to be there under that authority over a long period of time. And at some point, I just, you know, right or wrong, I won't try to defend it, I really believe they said, Lord, I think we need to go. I think we need to go. And I began to seek some counsel outside the situation. I still had a relationship with some elders from the little church I used to go to in Stone Ridge, New York here. They were out in the Midwest, and I began to sheepishly say, hey, there's some things going on. Could you pray with me, pray with us about what we should do? And I got more than I expected. I got a response back from them saying, yeah, the Lord gave us a word for you. You need to go. You know, and it wasn't what I wanted or expected. It was, you know, because normally, you know, like here, if I came to the elders at the Fountain of Life and said, I think the Lord's calling me to go somewhere, they would agree with that and pray with me, pray with us. You know, if they felt right, they would probably lay on hands and send you out with blessing. And the sharing we got was, don't wait. And yet I knew in the Lord there's certain principles. I said, okay, well, I'm going to be faithful, Lord. I'm not just going to walk out the door, right? I'm going to be faithful. And I shared with the leadership what we were sensing. And I said, but I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to stay here and finish my treasurer duties until you tell me I'm done. And we did. We stayed. We were faithful. And, you know, I talked with one of the pastors there during this period. And so in June or July 2011, I didn't know it was going to be our last service there, but we were there. And to my big surprise, they said, where's Tim Wilshire? I was actually downstairs helping them count the offering or something. And they dragged me back upstairs nicely. And they said, we just want to say thank you for your service as treasurer and what you've been doing. And they read a very nice scripture over us. And I just felt the Lord saying, this is your last Sunday. You know, this is them saying thank you. This is me saying thank you, if you will. And I'm moving you on. It's time to move on. And there were other, you know, confirmations the Lord gave that we were to move on. And so, you know, we came here and 2011 in the summer, and we came a couple times, and, you know, we had visited a place or two down in Dutchess County, and I was just, this isn't it, Lord. And we came here, and it's like, I want to be here, Lord. You know, and this is going to sound really melodramatic, but I had told somebody during those times, I said, I just want to come home, go home to die. I was so tired of what was going on. I want to go with Jesus. I just want to just be about Jesus again. I just was so tired. Those words came out of my lip. Now, the Lord fortunately hasn't killed me yet. Thank you. Thank you for letting me hang out a little longer. And please, not before your time. Okay. And so we came here, and actually what we did was I did what even the leadership of the church in Beacon had told us. If you go somewhere, go to the leadership, tell them how you got there. You know, so I did. We got together with Paul and Peter and Bill, and I don't think Wayne was, he might have been part of it, but maybe not back then, but we did. This is how we got here. Is it okay if we stay? And you guys were kind enough to say yes. Thank you, Lord. And so, you know, that was like 13 years ago. And yeah, I believe the Lord led us that way. But as I was pondering, you know, afterward what happened, there's one issue that stuck in my heart. And that is this. Yeah, we did the best we could with the grace we had. But there's broken fellowship in the body. And that grieved my heart. Because I know the Lord wants fellowship in his people. And so I want to read a scripture from 1 John. Whoops, I have it printed out here, so I don't have to turn flip pages in my Bible. This is 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has and was made manifest to us, that we that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I just skipped a line. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. And I'm going to jump down to verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And this passage just spoke to me. You know, it talks about our fellowship with the Lord. Our fellowship is with the Lord, the Father, and Jesus. And then our fellowship is with one another. And I really believe this is the Lord's will. This is what he wants in his body. And yeah, he has mercy, he has kindness. And yet, this is his desire. And so, I think the first thing I did, which is what you know, any of us should do. If you're having a problem in your heart with feelings towards somebody, you know, and this isn't feelings. Sometimes you have to do this just by the act of your will. It's in Mark 11, 25. It says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And so, you know, I did that. I said, Lord, I'm sorry if I blew it, and I forgive. You know, I forgive. And the other scripture, I'll get there in a second. And so since that time, I've continued to pray for the fellowship there in Beacon. I mean, not like, get them, Lord. No, not allowed. Not allowed. You know, Lord, bless them. Pour out your love on them. Pour in your grace on them. Pour out your help on them. And there's a scripture in John 20:22-23. And this was one that was really on my heart about this. And I think this is really important for us all. So if you're struggling with relations in the body or outside the body, it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And I believe that. I mean, I'm not here to preach hard doctrine to you, but I personally take this scripture at face value. And I've said, Lord, I don't want my sins retained. Some translations say retained. You know, if you retain the sins of any, they're retained. I don't want mine retained. I need mine forgiven. So I'm forgiven. I don't care what they did. Bless them. I don't care. I forget it. Forget it. Just like you forgot about mine. I'm forgiven it. It's forgiven. It's not retained as far as I'm concerned. And I think that's the right heart attitude to have. You know, and the Lord can deal with him if he wants to in due season. But as far as we go, let's not hold it. Let's not hold on to it. Let's let it go. So that's not held before the Father, you know. And so another scripture that the Lord put in my heart about them was from Matthew 16:18, where Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, so another way to look at the people in the body of Christ, he said, Lord, you know what they did to me. You know, maybe the Lord would say, do you know what you did to me? Yeah. So, you know, they are part of the same body. They are part of the same church that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against. Right? They do. They have his name on them. They have his Holy Spirit. And they're part of that same body. And so I also held on to that. That was another point of prayer. I'd be praying for them. And so over the years here, I have been praying for them. I mean, not every day, but consistently. And I didn't know, you know, anything else to do. I didn't know anything else to do. And then one other scripture I want to read before I go on. I'm still doing the intro. You guys are going to stone me. Here come the paper balls, right, Brad? Yeah. It says in John 17. And so this is another verse. This has been particularly important to me in praying for liberty in the body of Christ. John 17, it says, this is verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. But the key phrase for me is there, is what the Lord said, the glory that you've given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And you know, the body of Christ, we cannot be one without the glory of God. I am convinced of it, right? We've watched people try ecumenical movements. Let's just get together. Let's talk about our differences. And it don't work, right? It clearly doesn't work. You either wind up with something that falls apart or with some mixture that's not the truth without the Holy Spirit or, you know, some stuff wrong with it. And so this has been a prayer focus, is that, Lord, let the glory of God come, because it'll cause us to be one. Let the glory of God come. And so, you know, I talked about when Brother Don was here in March talking about bodiness. I told him, I said, Brother Don, there's this church in Beacon that I've been interceding for and I've been praying for. And, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. And he goes, yeah, you're kind of doing it by faith, right? You know, or something like that. And, you know, and I don't mean to put any innuendo on his tone of voice. He didn't have a bad tone of voice. It was good. But I was laughing to myself afterward, because that was March. And then in April, it was like the Lord was laughing. He was hearing my conversation with Brother Don. You know, it was almost like he was laughing. He says, guess what I'm going to do for you? And so here's my story. So in the month of April, there was a week where we got the news that two people from the church in Beacon had died. There was one young man, he's young to me, he's 37, and he was a teenager, a young, or maybe a preteen or something, in one of the families there in the 90s and in the 2000s, we were there, and he had passed away suddenly, and they were going to be doing a funeral memorial for service him on a Thursday night. And then the other person that passed away was the former senior pastor's wife. She had passed away, and Lupe had been really good friends with her. And, you know, it just, there was just like, my brain was telling me, really, you should go. These are people you knew and that were important in your life, but part of me didn't want to go. Part of me was like, Lord, I don't want to go back in that situation. I don't want to feel persecuted again. I don't want to, you know, wah, 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 wah. And I was praying a lot. I was praying in the Spirit a lot that week, considering, Lord, what should we do? And Lupe's asking, where are we going? And I'm like, I think I was telling her, I don't know. And so I was praying and seeking the Lord, you know, as I was walking into work. I think it was a Tuesday. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday morning. And I don't think I've ever had the Lord do this in this way before. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. As I'm walking into work, I hear the Lord say to me, I'm going to give you an answer on this right away. Like, right immediately. And I'm like, okay. Well, thank you. Whatever this is going to be, thank you. So I got upstairs at work, and I'm going to put my lunch away in the room, and there's a young man named Terrence. He's young to me. He works in our area. I didn't know anything about him personally. He's sitting there. I said, oh, good morning, Terrence. He goes, oh, good morning, Tim. He says, hey, when you get done putting that away, I want to talk to you about something. And I need to give some more background. So earlier in the week, I had seen a Facebook post about the senior pastor's wife who had passed away. And I had put something on it like, you know, she was a true woman of God or something, you know, like that. All right, so I'm putting my, you know, Terrence says, I want to talk to you about something. I said, okay, what's up? He says, I saw your post on that Facebook post about Linda Arstad passing away. And I wanted you to know that I went to that Christian school. I grew up with her son, that son. You know, Mark, their son, the son of the senior pastor. I grew up with him. He was my best friend growing up. And I'm going to be there Saturday. Okay. I guess the Lord did answer me. But to be kind to the Lord, you know, the Lord answered Gideon, and he was still a little, right? And I wasn't saying no. I said, Lord, I've heard from you, but I'm still, part of me doesn't want to go. And I continued to pray Wednesday, and I told the home group. And into Thursday, and Thursday night is the memorial service for the young man that had passed away. And Thursday, I'm still praying in the Spirit. I'm talking to the Lord. And all of a sudden, it just hit me. I just said, you know what? I'm going. In Jesus' name, you know, if things don't work out perfectly, he'll fix it. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, right? He's got me. he's got me this far. He'll make it work. I mean, that's not an exact quote, but that's the gist of what I said to the Lord. And I said it out loud. And as soon as I said that in my heart, it was like somebody had put a pin in a balloon. Psst. And there was peace. It was peace. And so Lupe and I went to the memorial service for the young man there in Beacon. And not all the leadership were there, but a lot of the people and the families we had known were there. And it was beautiful. There was no sense of, I don't belong here. You know, why am I here? It was just, I love you. There was fellowship. There was talking about the Lord. There was hugs, you know. And even with a couple lost the son, it was so good to see them. And then so that night, or the next night, that's Thursday night. So this is part A. Part B is they're going to do the service for the senior pastor's late wife on Saturday, same week. And so I'm like, well, Lord, you've helped us this far. I'm planning on going. And I don't know, Thursday, Friday night, I was looking on YouTube for Mark Arstad, who is the son of that senior pastor, you know, and the son of the senior pastor's wife who passed away. And Mark has his own ministry. He's out. And I looked him up on YouTube, and I found a sermon that he was preaching at a church in Philadelphia in early 2022. And in this sermon, and this has meaning. I'm not just filling time here. This actually has useful meaning. The sermon he was preaching, he was preaching from Ephesians 4 about... And he's telling the people there in this church, now they have a senior pastor structure, right? But he's telling the people in the church, he says, you guys are the ministers. We're not the ministers. You guys are the ministers. We're here to equip you. This is like an Indianapolis car race. I'm paraphrasing, but, and you know, here's the car, and we're just like the pit crew. We're here to equip you guys. And I was mulling over, and he had something that I can't quote exactly. I probably should have written it out. But he had some summary statement about, you know, about the Lord weaving together this tapestry that is the body of Christ. And I was mulling what he said later. And as I was mulling what he said, the Holy Spirit gave me a word for him. You know, Mark Arstad, he gave me a word for him. And I'm like, wow, all right, I don't know how this is going to work. I mean, I'm not in their lives. I'm not, you know, okay. So Saturday came and... Lupe and I go, and we walk in the door. Oh, I got one more background thing. Yeah, don't try to keep track of the details. I know it's impossible. Don't even try. So 4 or 5 years before this, I had been convicted by the Lord that in my describing how we had left Beacon, some of the things I had said impugned the reputation of some of the leadership. I wasn't trying to, but what came out of my mouth impugned, because they weren't there to defend themselves, right? Maybe the... And it was wrong. And he had me go and repent to some people. And I wrote the senior pastor and his wife a letter saying, hey, I was guilty of running my mouth, and I'm sorry. Because, you know, and if anything else I'm done, I'm sorry. And that was 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. Right. So, okay. So fast forward. Saturday in April, memorial service for the senior pastor's wife. Lupe and I walk in. We're going to go in and be seated. And the senior pastor... The old senior pastor, he's not anymore, but he's up front. He sees me, and he, you know, we weren't good buddies or anything. I mean, he was my pastor. I mean, that's just the way they worked. I'm not knocking it. It just was the order they worked in, you know. And he saw me. He made a beeline for me, and it wasn't with a scowl on his face, right? He wasn't coming to kill me. He was, you know, he made a beeline for me, and he came up to me. He's like, you know, and it was like he was glad to see me, and he said, hey, I just want you to know. You wrote me that letter 4 or 5 years ago, and I meant to answer it, but I couldn't find it. I lost it, but I found it recently, in like December. I found it in the attic, you know, and his wife is dying and all this in the midst of it, you know, no problem. You don't expect him to write me anything. And he says, just wanted to know, I found it. And then I began to say to him verbally, I said, listen, I just wanted to write and say, if I blew it, I'm sorry. You know, he just looked at me and said, we're good. Or something to that effect. We're good. Or it's forgiven. And as soon as he said that, it was like the other pin. Psst. And I tell you, I know you say this is a lot of touchy-feely. I'm sorry. If you were in my shoes, you'd be up here talking too. you know, that it just, this burden left me. This thing left me. And I know it was done. It was good. And as the service commenced, they started to sing. And I was thinking of printing out the words of playing the song, but I won't. But I am going to sing a little bit. They begin to sing this song. We don't sing it here. It's by a gentleman named Mac Hammond. And it goes, Jesus, Jesus, sent down from glory. And it's beautiful. And it just goes on and on. It says, Jesus, Jesus, sent down from glory. And as the congregation was lifting their hands and singing that, the glory of the Lord filled that house. And there was no bondage going on. There was fellowship in Jesus. There was freedom in that house. There was liberty in that place. And, you know, people that had used to bother me that, you know, I forgive them. I love them. I bless them. I pray for them. But I still didn't feel right around them. That was gone. I mean, I just knew that it was all about Jesus. As we were lifting up his name and proclaiming his glory was filling that house and making us one. And it was so beautiful. It was so wonderful. I'm so thankful the Lord did that. And I never felt comfortable in that place, even when we went there like that. And after the Lord did that, I was like, thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you for your great deliverance and your ministry. Thank you, Lord. But it wasn't over. So the senior pastor got up and started to share. I know this is going on and on, right? The senior pastor got up and he started to share about how him and his wife had been called. And it was a cool story. I won't try to repeat his sermon, but, you know, he was a teenager and he knew the Lord had called him in the ministry, and his wife was several years older, like a junior or senior in high school or something, and she's headed off to college, and she asked him straight out something to the effect, am I going to go away to a distant college, you know, or am I going to stay here in a local college because the Lord told me I'm supposed to marry a pastor? And she was like, is that you? And he's 14 or 15 at the time. I mean, this doesn't happen. And yet they did. As you heard him talk, you knew it was the Lord ordering their steps. And they got married, and he shared how the Lord, you know, took them from one stage, and you knew it was the Lord. It wasn't like, you know, they got a senior pastor structure. No, no, that's the Lord's business. Sorry. He ordered their steps, and it was a beautiful sharing. It was wonderful, and you knew the grace of God was there. And so after the service, I'm in the back, and Lupe and I are talking to people and shaking hands and giving hugs and getting hugs. And then the senior pastor's son, Mark guy, who had been on YouTube preaching that service, he's coming down the aisle. And he's shaking hands, and he makes his way, and he gets up to me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to go for it. I said, you know, first of all, I had no idea that Terrence from work had anything to do with you. But I hear he went to school with you. You guys were best buddies. That's probably one of the reasons, the only reason I'm here today. And I said, you know, and he wasn't in a hurry. I was amazed. There's lots of people to talk to, but he wasn't in a hurry. And then I said, I saw you on a YouTube video, and you were at a church in Philadelphia preaching this sermon about how the people are the ministers, and you're just here to equip them. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord gave me a word for you. And I began to tell him, I said, listen, I know you probably have all sorts of wackos who walk up to you and say, I've got a word from the Lord, you know. And he looked at me and said, no, it's okay. Like, he wasn't being scoffing. You know, he was listening intently and sincerely. And so I shared with him. I said, what the Lord gave me, and I believe this is okay, the Lord gave me for you was to tell you, and this is not an exact quote, I didn't write it down, but this is the gist of it, that, you know, keep speaking that. Keep proclaiming liberty. Keep preaching that. You know, keep speaking that liberty, freedom for the body of Christ. And he said, I receive that. He shook my hand. He said, I receive that. And so we walked out of there, and I was just so amazed. And I was so thrilled. The next day at the breakfast table, there's a scripture in Samuel, and I didn't write it down, so it's going to be an approximate quote, but it says, you know, David sang this song to the Lord on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from Saul. And that's what it felt like. I said, the Lord, but, you know, do I still have battles? Yeah. Am I still getting corrected? Yes. Yes. But it's so good. I was just so glad to see the Lord's hand move like that. It was just so amazing. When Brother Don was here the last time, I said, you're March. We were talking about, you know, praying for churches and like by faith and not seeing anything happen. Well, guess what happened to me? And I think I wore him out. I think he was about to pass out. You know, I'm sorry. God bless Saint Don. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. So I didn't quite share what I was thinking I was going to share, but I think I shared what I was supposed to share. So my summary is that, you know, the glory of God, it really does. It's what we need to make us one. And if you've got broken relationships in your life, you know, don't give up. You know, keep praying. You know, I labored in prayer, you know, and God didn't do it necessarily because I labored in prayer either. I mean, you know, I earned it, Lord. I prayed for 13 years. Well, who cares? You know, I mean, Jesus was crucified. Did you do that? No. You know, so praying is pretty mild by that comparison, is it? Yeah. Yeah, it is. But hang in there, because the Lord is answering. He hears your prayers. You know, and especially, you know, if he's leading you to pray in the Holy Spirit, you know, that's not a waste of time. You know, you are doing things in Jesus in the heavenlies that you may not see. And it's nice when he gives us glimpses like this, that we can see what it's doing. It's so encouraging. But you're moving heaven. Don't poo-poo that. Don't, you know, when he moves you to pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit. Because you're moving heaven. And this really encouraged me to believe for fellowship. There, you know, there's relations in my life and people who are Christians, and yet it doesn't seem to be the fellowship that there should be. And this has just encouraged my heart that the Lord in a second can get it right. All in one word or one second, he can get that relationship, you know, wherever you or they are at, so that it's in the light as he is in the light, and there can be fellowship. And that just this has just encouraged my heart to believe him for that. So I do the same for you. If you've got, you know, wounded relationships in, you know, with the body, hang in there. You know, hang in there. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit will show you what to do, right? So my sharing today, I had a whole bunch of stuff about spiritual warfare and relationships, and I don't think the Lord wanted me to share that. I think he's going to do that at the conference. But as you're praying and interceding for these people, the Lord will show you what to do. He will, right? This is not a law thing, but he'll, you know, it says to pray for those. Pray for your, you know, love your enemies. Pray for them. You know, be not overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. He'll show you what to do. You know, it says if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If they're thirsty, give him drink. He'll show you, you know, by the Holy Spirit how to do that. And it won't be too much for you to either. You know, he'll lead you gently. And if it seems like too much, keep talking to him. But one thing I did want to add, and this is one of my tangents, but I think it's a good one, is during this whole thing, and during my years here at the Fountain, let me back up. Some of you listened to Derek Prince. We were talking about that Friday night, yeah? Anybody else? Read his books, got him at home, used to listen to him on the radio, right? And, you know, his teachings, especially when he's dealing with warfare, what did he say God's atomic weapon was? You remember? What's God's atomic weapon? The blood of Jesus, right? I mean, that's, you know, he used to have those little cards. This is what the blood of Jesus does for me. And you know, as I was considering this, I think God has shown me his secret weapon. Because it's not, I call it a secret weapon because it's not listed explicitly in Ephesians 6 with the armor of God. But Wayne has been teaching on it, and he's been teaching on Hebrews. And I think he'd probably be, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I have no idea what he's going to teach. But I'm guessing he may teach more on it. And to me, it's the throne of grace. Is your secret weapon. When you've got, you know, you're like, okay, Lord, it says be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Christ, for God's sake, has forgiven you. You know, I can quote that scripture upside down and sideways. And yet the more I quote it doesn't necessarily make me more able to do it. Well, where do you go? Go to the throne of grace. Go to the throne of grace. It's just so wonderful to have that throne of grace. When you've got situations that, you know, long or short, that you don't know how to deal with, or that, you know, Lord, I put on the armor of God, you know, I'm walking in truth, and yet I get in these situations, it don't seem to be going right. Well, here's a thought. Maybe he lets it happen that way, so you'll depend on him. So I'll depend on him. All right, so anyway, So I think I'm done. So thank you for listening to me. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for the great love you put on us as a people and as a body, as individuals. And Lord, it says in the scripture, you know, I haven't hidden your deliverance in my heart. You know, I've shared it in the great congregation. And it's a good thing to tell what the Lord has done. And we just glorify your name, Lord. And we look forward to what you're doing in these days to come. It may be different than we expect. And, you know, whatever it is, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in areas of relationships, and you're doing in other areas too, Lord. And we just love you, Father. And I just pray, speak again, freedom over all your people. Freedom from every bondage. Freedom from every chain, particularly in relationships, Lord. Freedom in the body of Christ when there's things that cause us to be divided, that your glory would come and bring that liberty and bring that freedom, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for doing these things in Jesus' name.